I'm a go-getter.
I need a node
first. I need now.
Did you
I
need it?
Now?
Did,
I don't
need a node first.
Did anybody genuinely need to open a channel on the Saturday morning when the fees were that high?
You never know. Everyone's got.
I might look at the mempool, see if anyone tried.
Did anybody try and open a channel at that point? Like, why would you?
We're back. Oh.
We're back.
Let's see the clap.
You're half a second too soon.
Yeah. Go.
Go, go, go. Bitcoin is episode 125. Still always amazes me that we're that far in. Yeah, welcome back. Like and subscribe.
Please.
Please.
Manners are important.
Manners are really important. Please and thank you. Okay, moving swiftly on to the agenda. I've put my mic in the wrong place where I just can't see.
You could have read the agenda by now.
Someone's testing 1 and 2 block reorgs on testnet. Financial Times reporting that IMF has given a warning to the US. IMF has also released a document on Bitcoin cross-border flows.
You can tell I got hold of the agenda a little bit. Hey? See what I was ticking?
Oh, it's this year.
Okay. All the stuff I shared, yeah. You read it? I'm surprised.
Sorry. Wait. 2.4 million in fees was spent on the halving block via BTC mined the halving block. Danny's done a tweet.
No, it's my tweet, I didn't.
We'll expand on that in a bit. Bull Bitcoin is commenting on people spending thousands of dollars on runes. We'll come back to runes in a bit. BitGet research. Tether is vowing to freeze assets. ARK is destroying more wealth than any asset manager. Jack Dorsey and his company Block has announced full Bitcoin mining system, and PayPal is looking to reward sustainable Bitcoin miners.
Cracking.
Wow. And we've got a couple of Dear Daves.
Whoa, what a lot to get through.
Oh, and maybe announcements.
Maybe.
No. First of all, we've just got some admin
to get out of the way. Hopes up, though.
Congratulations to whoever guessed the right halving date. I don't know who it was.
That guy.
That's the first topic. It was Mikey.
Who was it? Oh, it's a good. I do think it might have been me.
I think it was you.
20th of April, I called it. Start of the year, I said it would be 20th.
If we were on UTC, would it have been
20th of April? I don't.
We've moved to British summertime.
Oh, it must have been right in the A time zone.
It was like 50. Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
Somewhere in the world, it was the 19th.
Mikey, in America, you got it right.
Come on.
No, you wouldn't.
I did actually specify a time zone, didn't I? I did say 5 PM GMT.
You said GMT. Oh, that was your downfall. No, you said GMT.
That was always before.
Not BST.
We're not even in GMT
anymore.
We'll have to double check this. It could be a win for me.
It wasn't.
Being out of my mind.
It was more than an hour, and it's
50 minutes, was it not?
No. Nope.
Was it 10 to 1 UTC?
I thought it was like 4 AM.
No.
No, it was originally 4 AM when we were talking about it, but come back. So I think it was like 10 to 1-ish.
Okay. Anyway, I won, so unlucky.
Do you want to know what's really weird? Is I went to bed on the halving night, because I just was like, I'm not going to stay up
for
this.
You didn't stay up for that?
No,
I had the kids around, the poppers going.
Plot twist. I went to bed, and then, plot twist, woke up randomly in the middle of the night with 1 block to go.
Did
and I say, I woke up to see the halving.
So you did see it?
Yeah. Wow. It was so weird. I got my phone off and checked. I was like, oh, 1 block to go. I'm the blockchain. I'm so in sync with it.
Wow.
I know.
That is pretty decent.
Wow.
Have you got a block clock on there or something? What have you got?
Not just on Twitter.
Oh, right. Oh.
Everyone. Because, I mean, there was a live countdown on there, wasn't it?
Mm. So,
yeah, it was pretty cool.
First topic?
Bitcoin price.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Live price, 66,600.
66.
Last episode's price was 62. And the high since last episode is 67. So we're not too much going.
Steady.
Pretty upwards.
Yeah, steady up.
Not too much steady. It's gone up $4,000.
Yeah, but that's not much in this day and age, is it?
Well, 6%.
Mm-hmm.
6% up in the week.
Yep.
Okay.
It survived the halving.
Ridiculous comment. What a ridiculous comment.
Yeah, but you look at mainstream media, everyone's like, we're worried about the halving. What's going to happen with the halving? It's still going.
I get it.
TikTok next block.
Yeah, we survived. Let's crack on.
Okay.
On to the next one.
Agenda. Okay, so someone is testing 1 and 2 block reorging.
I feel like this just quick reorg. Yeah, just quickly, just because we survived the halving reorg in some ways.
Yeah,
people were expecting a reorg, which didn't happen. Nobody even tried it, from what I can tell. But pre halving, people were doing it on testnet to play around with it and see. That's it, really. There's not really much more to it. Mm-hmm. I expected some of the miners to play play bad and try it.
No one did.
Your expectations of them is low, right?
The miners.
Those guys keep the network going.
No, they do not. The nodes keep the network going. The people keep the network going. Community. The Bitcoiners keep the network going.
Yeah.
The miners.
All survivors.
The miners just tick the boxes.
Oop, okay.
No, I'm not slagging
off. I'm
not
creating enemies here.
I'm not slagging off.
Well, you personally are creating enemies.
Miners do. No,
I love miners.
People give too much credibility to the miners, I think, for that. It's not. We've seen that in the past in terms of.
Molly's saying, I love miners.
It's just another clunky comment.
Just clip that one up.
And a line after it. But we've seen that in the past with the 2017 user activated soft fork side, where people were thinking the miners controlled the network, and obviously clearly showed that they didn't. And they are doing the job of, they're getting paid to do a job effectively in more lives. And that's the way the world works.
Okay.
The way Bitcoin works.
Right. Anything else to add to this one?
No, we'll come on to the backlog and the runes things, I think, anyway, surely. So,
okay. Do you want me to stick to this agenda, or do you not want, you don't want to, like, you know, naturally side swivel into that topic?
Don't mind, you're in control of the agenda.
You take us where you want us to go.
Okay, well, let's talk. Do you want to talk about runes then?
Let's go to runes.
Go on then.
So, Dave,
me just trying to find it.
Well, let's stay on the halving and then naturally go to runes.
Yeah,
okay. If we can, is that okay?
I'm trying to see what are the halving.
So for that, again, on the back of the why I expected some reorgs, we thought that there'd be big backlog, lots of fees to grab, which there was, but there was enough for multiple blocks, I think, as well. So that may have been a bit of a swaying factor for miners, that there's no point in trying to reorg and waste hash rate when it might not work, whereas there's plenty of fees to be made over the next 24 hours. There was a lot of fees to be made. So
do you think it was funny that Ocean Mining ignored all that? If they'd won it, they wouldn't have put any of that in terms of the rune stuff, would they?
No, yeah, which would have been great. That would have been a preferred option. But yeah, it's
just leaving all that fee income on the table just for principles.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's this industry, right? I know. Yeah. I was like, that's cool. That's why we like Ocean, right?
We mine at Ocean. That's just what we do.
I liked it. They stuck to their guns.
We've done it in the past. We had this conversation earlier today, actually. Like in the past, back in years ago, people were offering to pay. I still got emails from a load of these people as well, actually, offering to pay anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million just to list their coin back in the day on Coin Corner, and we never took any of that. We never listed them coins.
Yeah. So via BTC, got the block that everyone wanted, or the sat that everyone wanted.
The rare sat.
The so-called rare sat. And then they're going to auction it off and give it out to their pool contributors.
Okay.
Thoughts on that?
I mean, it's a free mark, isn't it?
It is.
The ultimate free mark.
What do you think that'll fetch in the auction?
I don't know, really. I don't know. I presume
can't really put a value on it, right? Because
it's to whoever, you know, someone will pay for it. Who has the other ones? So this is the fourth halving. Have we done now? Fourth halving. Is it the fourth? It's the fourth.
So it's one of four.
So yeah, there's only four sats in circulation. No, not for that particular thing. Well, we kind of had a little nosy when Ordinals first came out and played around, but we didn't. We had lots of rare ones, not that sense, rather.
Not epic, is that?
No. So yeah, there is only four available at the minute. I imagine it's going to get a good price, I think.
I did try to find out where the other three were, but I couldn't see any information on epic halving sats. So it just kept coming up with the most recent one.
Go on, we're going to put some guesses on.
What, a
dollar price?
I think it'll be $1 million.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think, because someone's going to pay it.
No, I think it would just be under that. I think like maybe $500,000. That around that. So I
was going to go even lower than that.
It's hard.
But it's for one Satoshi.
Yeah.
Does this won't affect the Bitcoin price at all? This is kind of like off.
Nothing to do with Bitcoin price. Nothing to do with Bitcoin, quite honestly.
And only if you put a value on it, right? To me, it's
so hard to tell. But it's like art. That's art. That's like the rare coins that you find and stuff like that, where people will pay.
Charizard.
They'll pay ridiculous amounts for them.
Talking about language now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's collectible in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the halving block as well, Bitcoin users spent $2.4 million in fees. And that particular block as well came with a 40.751 Bitcoin reward.
Mm-hmm. Which is the $2.5 million, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I can do the math.
Yeah, that's what I said. There was no reorgs. I think the block after it was still pretty hefty, wasn't it, as well? It was still the next 24 hours of blocks were still big because of the runes side.
Yeah, so the runes launched on the halving block, did they not? So that's why the staggering fee in there.
So what is runes? Should we just jump into that?
Let's jump into that. What is runes?
Do you want me to explain, John?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, because your words were, I'm fuming about it, so you must know.
I am fuming about it a little bit, yeah.
Saturday morning, fuming about runes.
Yeah.
Which made me chuckle.
My mind's moved on since then, so I can't remember why I was that fuming at it at the time. I was fuming at it not from the sense of what they've done on the halving and all that sort of thing. It's what they're doing in terms of Bitcoin. We treat Bitcoin as a monetary system and using it for money and payments. They've treated it like a database where they can store stuff. And they're tweeting and they're all happy that there's a backlog and it takes $100 to make a transaction on Bitcoin now, and they're happy about that and they're like celebrating that. But as you know, people say Bitcoin's for everyone and so on. That means people in countries that are less fortunate can theoretically at the minute not able to use and transact with Bitcoin and make use of it in the sense of what it's set out to be as money. So I think that is my fuming piece, that these guys are just pissing around, to be honest, and doing it and disrupting the rest of it. Now, that's one side. The other side of me, obviously, is always, I think me and Zach have spoke about this quite a lot and on the pod, I think, as well, touched on, where we can be mad at them and angry at them and everything else, which is all fine and it's natural. We'll get mad and we'll get angry. But you can't tell them not to do that because it's the point of Bitcoin. And Bitcoin, if Bitcoin can't survive the attack of runes and the attack of what that side of it is, then Bitcoin doesn't deserve to be money and doesn't deserve to survive. So there's at the minute, it's like you've got to see which way it fights, and Bitcoin in my head will survive and this will be a fad and it'll pass and it'll move on to, there'll be another fad at some point in the future. And we've seen this come and go in history. But there's still a fight to be had, which is what Ocean are doing. So if you listen to like Mechanic on Pete McCormick's podcast, who's the CEO, whatever he's called, of Ocean Mining Pool, and he does explain a lot of this. It's like people are just ignoring it, thinking it'll pass and it's a fad, which I believe it will. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, they're trying to put up the fight against it to help, you know, they want to process the transactions that are money transactions, actual Bitcoin transactions, not the JPEGs and things that are the meme tokens that they're effectively minting now on there. So in my head, I had in like, you know, in the future at some point, if you have, you know, 30-40% of the hash rate on Ocean-esque mining pools that are only processing for monetary purposes and money purposes, then you would still get your transactions through at a lower fee than everybody. So you'll end up with two fee rates in the mempool. So you'll end up with a fee rate of put my JPEG and my meme token on the blockchain fee rate up here, which certain percentage of miners will go for, and then certain percentage of miners will go for the monetary angle and process them at a lower fee. So you may end up with like, which we already have that in a sense, where Ocean will ignore all these high fee ones and take the lower fee ones. Unfortunately, they don't get enough blocks in a day for that to be useful for us at the minute from a coin corner.
It takes a lot of conviction to do that, right, as well, because economic incentive says you just go for the higher fees, but long-term, you know, reputation, that kind of thing, it all plays into it.
Did they lose a lot of hash rate over this period? Have you checked in terms of...
They saw a massive spike.
Went up.
Coming up.
So because they went into...
Yeah, because they were just giving out that rare sat to whoever had the most hash rate.
So people were actually like gambling that, actually, they'd make more money.
That they'd get that rare sat and make
a
ton.
Yeah.
So for a non-techie like me, what's the difference between runes and ordinals that we saw?
It's the same concept of what they're doing to allow tokens effectively on Bitcoin, same way as you've seen on Solana and Ethereum, etc. But they've just technically done it in a different way in the background.
Yeah, they're storing the data in a different place, but it's still all within the transaction.
It slightly saves more space than doing it in the ordinals method. So there's a slight difference in it.
I only ask because everybody, you know, obviously when ordinals happened, everybody was up in arms about that, but that came and went.
Yeah.
So
it's Ordinals 2.0 basically. It's effectively what it is. But
you kind of expect the same to happen again.
But we then saw the meme coins being created on runes. Have you got, is it one of the subjects, one of the topics here?
But what, the names of them?
No, not the names. Oh,
right. So we go down that
route. Thought you were talking about that little story.
Yeah, man. Forget that one.
Oh, yeah. So this is Francis from Bulbicker, and he created a thread of people burning thousands of dollars on runes.
So people didn't understand how Bitcoin worked, and people were then... So what happened is, it's kind of like domain squatting and sniping back in the day. So when the internet first came around and people would domain squatting on like a particular thing, like table.com.
Well, they thought it would have value.
That they thought it would have value in the future, and they'd sell it off to someone. So, but you could go and buy that and you would just pay, you know, $10 for it, done. Well, with runes and the way this is done and when the meme token is created, they basically, it's a great tweet, I'll just turn around to look at that tweet. Boy, fucking sucks. I've wasted $25K doing this stupid shit. But they effectively, you bid. So say, for example, you want table token and you want to call it table token. So you want to mint the name and the token and say how many tokens come into it. As you put that in as a transaction on the blockchain, it takes obviously up towards 10 minutes to get into a block, for example. So for it to be confirmed, you might pay a big fee and you're paying, you know, $200. I see that because I can see your transaction and I now snipe it and I say, I know you want table.com, table token, sorry. I'm going to put a transaction in for table token myself and put a higher fee. So the miner will theoretically take the biggest fee one. There's a couple of things there. So the miner will take the biggest fee one and then I'll get table token and I'll control it and be the owner of that. But also if they got into the same block at the same time, they would go into the same block. Even if you've paid $100 and I've paid $200, our transactions go in, your $100 is gone because you've effectively sent that somewhere to mint this and you've not been able to get it because the order that the miner will put the transactions in the block is the order that runes looks at it. So mine would be higher because it's a higher value, so it looks at that first, that's the one that gets it, the second one doesn't, and you've lost your $100, which is what all these
so yeah, there's essentially a massive race to get these what would be considered good names for runes.
Yeah.
And then people
were all terrible names as well. They weren't even good names. Well, one of them was quite funny, but they were.
There's some here. There's Ticker is Elsa, Anarcho Catbus.
What even is Ticker is Elsa? I don't even get it. What's Ticker is Elsa?
Clearly not a Disney fan, are you?
Well, that's, in my head, I'm thinking Disney. That's exactly what I thought.
Oh.
Well, I'm assuming it's something different. It's not going to be.
Oh, it's like, isn't
it's not going to be Elsa from Frozen.
Ticker is Frozen. Ticker is Elsa? I don't know.
Oh.
I honestly don't know. But there's so many of them.
Probably some meme.
It's an injury. Yeah.
Understand.
All the cool kids, they know what they're doing.
I think the token's called the Ticker is Elsa, and then the ticker's just going to be Elsa.
Yeah. What's Elsa? That's what I do.
The ticker?
Very odd.
The ticker, yeah.
It's in the name.
Unfortunately, yeah. So we've ended up with lots of meme tokens being minted, which is what we've seen the backlog of transactions.
So yeah, we see massive demand in people minting these, but I haven't seen much demand in people wanting to buy them.
No.
So like the OKX marketplace, I mean, it had some volume, right? But it didn't blow me away when I looked at it.
No, same. Some were still staying at high prices, but the volumes have already dwindled.
We should clarify as well, what's the point of that token? All these tokens literally have no point. They're just a name, same as a lot of the other meme tokens. Yeah, it's like they don't have anything. So
it's very hard with a collectible because the value is purely in the eye of the beholder.
So that's like saying every
crypto, like a shiny Charizard.
Yeah.
Put it in that perspective, I would say it's completely worthless. Yeah. You might say give that value.
No, my point is you're saying that the shiny Charizard, it's a Pokemon thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where's the other 15,000 replicas of Pokemon with their own version of Charizard and that's a shiny, and then it's like it's no different to the other one. That's what we're looking at here. All the different 15,000 meme tokens getting created all over the place are effectively 15,000 versions of Pokemon that all have their cards, their characters within it, which is like this one meme token will have 15,000.
But the shiny Charizard itself isn't scarce, is it? Why can't they just print more? Is that not the same thing in terms of that's
pretty scarce. The shiny Charizard is the rarest Pokemon card.
Yeah, the ones in Pokemon for the Charizard, it's like because they were ones that were they have dates on them, so it's the ones that were printed in first edition, second edition, and the different ones. Yeah, there's one that's like an offcut where it's like the shiny bits slightly messed up.
Not
that
shiny Charizard.
Again, I would it's only valuable because you can sell it for quite a lot because someone out there.
Someone value. But there's one Pokemon.
Right.
There's 250 Pokemon, whatever, isn't it? And
I don't know enough about Pokemon to say there's not imitation Pokemon. So
there's Digimon. There was Digimon and there was some other stuff, but they were
copyright
strike as well.
Not with that singing.
I used to watch it as well.
That's the point. You've got Pokemon is like one of them, and all the ones within it, and then. But you've got how many meme tokens and coins do we have now? There's like meme tokens being created every 10 seconds, which then within that you're saying is like the 250 Pokemon within that one meme token. But there's tens of thousands of these coins and tokens, which then over time dilutes and makes them less valuable is what I'm saying there. So it's not just like there's one and then within it you've got collectibles. They're not collectible. They're not a thing. Pokemon had a substance behind
the defense
it.
Of Pokemon.
They did, didn't it? Yeah. How dare you slag on
only if you're interested in crappy cartoons.
It had. Yeah, yeah.
Disclaimer,
but
Danny holds a lot of Pokemon cards.
I do.
It sounds like it.
I actually do.
And no runes.
But exactly that. I hold Pokemon cards and no runes.
But there'll be people with runes and no Pokemon cards on the exact.
So we call that
another bit. Other end of the ring, really.
But it's the point of that has substance behind it. It had a cartoon, it had a game, it had like a thing behind it. These don't have anything.
Are you
worried, bearing in mind that the airport analogy that Mikey shared yesterday?
I didn't read it.
Which I thought was good. Brilliant. And I would recommend people read that.
Best airport analogy for Bitcoin ever.
Miles. I heard a mediocre line in one once. Which
Once upon a time.
But the airport.
That I wrote on an aeroplane.
If I could probably ad lib it into a sense. Did you read it? It was good.
I did read it, yeah.
So it was basically saying... So I can't really remember it. I could do it a little, but I'd be doing it an injustice. People need to go read it. But the airport was essentially Bitcoin or the blockchain itself. And the airport in it had a casino, which was basically runes. But to get through to the airport piece, you needed a plane ticket, which is essentially the transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So the people wanted to get involved with the runes, the casino-y crappy element. They would have to buy a plane ticket, and the planes ending up. But no one gets on the plane. They just want to play in the casino.
Fully booked planes, but no passengers.
So they want to play in the casino in the airport. They're not bothered about the flight, but they get the cheapest plane ticket.
So that's like full Bitcoin blocks, but no monetary transactions.
Exactly.
It's all rune based.
Filling up the blocks, which is the plane, and then no one's actually going on it, but they're all playing in the casino. So in the end, the incentive is not to even run the planes. It's just to get
more casinos.
Get more casinos, because that's where all the action is. So it also went through about that's how the long-term play could be with Bitcoin if this trend continues, which I certainly don't think it will.
Stopped already.
All right.
That was my tweet that we went to. I think it was one of the
topics. Do you think it's already over? Runes are dead.
Well, do you think now then, because obviously this could just happen time and time again, which we've seen it a few times.
It's done that in the past.
But like the ocean guys are more like they consider it a bug, so they want to fix the bug to stop it from happening.
They talk around, so they've got...
Because is it quite exploitative in terms of... Is it the out... I read briefly about it, but I'm not a techie, so it's literally like...
You sound pretty good there.
Yeah, it's the op return, is it, or something like that?
What a galley he's worked to.
So they're exploiting you can inscript on the op return by a few kilobytes or something like that. That's what people were doing.
Frustratingly, this came in, with SegWit and Taproot stuff and that side, and that allowed for this to then happen, which is... Then you would say, that was accident. It was an oversight.
It's not the intention of the initial change, right?
Yeah. Mm. So they've exploited an oversight within the code to allow this to happen, but it's now in there and people are using it. So
yeah, and you'll never get consensus to
remove it.
To remove it, I don't think.
No. So censoring it at the minor level, and then you can censor it at the node level as well. So if you receive a transaction with something in that is like a rune-esque transaction and just not a standard Bitcoin transaction, you would then... tell your node basically to ignore it and don't broadcast it anywhere. So it will only get broadcast to the ones that are actually caring about doing it. So it doesn't bother filling up your bandwidth and it still would. You'd still have to process it, I guess, to know not to broadcast to others, but it would save a bit on bandwidth and processing times. But if it gets added to a block, you will still deal with it because it's in a block and you have to.
That's the issue, right? Because the miners are now creating these out of bound ways of getting transactions in blocks anyway. Yeah. So if all the nodes even blocked them, I could still go directly to a miner and get it in a block.
Yeah.
Which then they would have to process it at that point.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's just the free market. It'll just play out as it plays out, right?
I think Danny's right. It's already dying off. I was going to buy it as a celebration of the halving, everyone a rune.
Oh, is that the gift that you
I was going to do it, but I literally couldn't find them cheap enough.
You couldn't figure out how to do it.
No, it's relatively cheap.
You couldn't find them cheap enough, so I was people are behind
I didn't really want
to. I think they've set flaws, haven't they?
Yeah, there's flaws. So I was literally like, I'm not paying that for that. Shit, if I'm honest.
Do you want to mark you for that? Sorry, this is my tweet from that. Do you mind pulling up the website at the minute as well and just seeing, just so we'll be fair to him. Let's get the website up. Mempool dot, what's on that graph there? Because my graph is looking at, I don't want to do what we slag off a lot of the time.
Oh yeah, it did calm down, but then it has spiked up.
The data.
It's the Joho, isn't it?
Of looking at the data that suits your agenda. So I don't want to do that. You can just Google that and it'll come up.
Yeah. Mempool dot space is good as well.
I meant Joho original. Joho's been my day one mempool since.
And at the top, just change the top right ish. You've got like change that to a week. Oh, it should be fine. It gives a bit of an indication. There we go. That's fine. So that'll give us an idea. Actually, scrub back up again. Just change the weight count. There we go. That'll be there. Keep it there. Cool. So yeah. Mind jumping back to the tweet again. Sorry, Mike. I was just getting that in preparation. So. Yeah, as we're saying, runes, have they come and gone already? This graph that Mikey will display for everybody is a year's worth of the data, mempool data, and the bit on the very right-hand side at the end is basically runes and halving, which is down at like just over 200,000 transactions in the mempool. So even though people were paying ridiculous amount of fees, it was because they were trying to snipe each other on these names that ended up causing massive fees for the miners. But there wasn't that many transactions in there, which means people didn't care that much. When you look back to the left and you can see the big spikes elsewhere, I think one of them, the biggest spikes, was there was an ordinal spike, which was on the, I think that's the very left one, I think was the ordinal spike. I think Binance actually, did Binance sweep a load of stuff at one point?
Yeah, maybe.
But they put it through with ridiculously low, like 5 sat and under transaction size, so they just knew it'd get into the blocks eventually. The middle spike, I think the middle to the right with a bit of yellow, that's ETFs. So as the Bitcoin price is rising, as we see every time cycle bull market kicks off, you see more Bitcoin transactions as you naturally do because there's more people. So in anticipation for the ETF and the Bitcoin price starting to rise, that's where we've seen a bit of a spike and then we've calmed down. So it didn't even surpass, the runes side of it didn't even surpass the ETF Bitcoin price in terms of the amount of transactions on the blockchain getting pushed out. So in the sense of, is it dead already? It's not had a big impact on the network realistically. It's had a short-term weekend impact.
Okay.
And then to be fair to them, so going back to a different graph, it's the same sort of graph, but it's just narrowed in on a bit more. It's over a week period rather than the year period. So you can see the black in the middle on the left was the halving time. So that's the halving piece kicking in. And that's the black is the high fees basically that the runes guys are willing to pay. So yes, it spiked. Yes, it started to come down. We've seen a bit more of a ramp up over this last day or so now, but not at as high a fee rate as we saw from the halving piece. And it actually now has come quite far. Coming back down now again, hasn't it? So it's calming down again.
Where was peak fuming for Danny Scotland?
The black.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am fuming about this. Yeah. These scenarios are good, like, in the fact that this is why Lightning as well, right? So during this period of high fees, I didn't have any kind of issues in terms of if I wanted to pay for something, I could just use my Lightning wallet. So it's kind of highlights the benefit of Lightning as
Couldn't have opened a channel though, could you?
But why would you do this?
You should already have channels.
This was a few minutes.
It's back.
What, like people, everyone's saying, oh, Bitcoin's broken because now I can't use Lightning.
Can't open channel.
You can use Lightning. Well, I can't open a channel. Why would you open a channel when the fees are at the highest point they've been in ever?
Idiots.
Like, that's just stupid. It doesn't make sense. Like, there's always going to be spikes and troughs and stuff where it will be expensive and then it will be cheap and so on. And it will.
And I might have to wait to open my channel.
But why
the fees?
Why are you picking now to open a channel? Why didn't you open it a month ago?
I'm a go-getter.
Needs a node
I need,
first.
I need now.
Did you need it?
Now? I don't
need
the
node first.
Did anybody genuinely need to open a channel on the Saturday morning when the fees were that high?
You never know. Everyone's got.
I might look at the mempool, see if anyone tried.
Did anybody try and open a channel at that point? Like, why would you?
See, we could see that.
See the block, see if anyone actually committed to opening one.
Now, if the fees were always that high, then I can understand the if that ran for 12 months consistently at that high rate, then you can see the argument. And that's people's
that
arguments going forwards that might be the thing and that becomes the norm. But when it's the norm, that's where then you would lock a channel in for a year or something. Why do you need to close that channel? And you can make use of it. I think once you're making, it's like chicken and egg in some respects where you can't say, okay, you can open a channel and it'll run for a year because what if you need to close it? What if you need to do things? But then actually there's new developments coming along, like with splicing and all sorts of things where you can then make use of that same channel and just top it up and take out when you need to. So you're still technically doing on-chain things.
Could I argue?
There's pooled options.
In 2140, we will need runes. Because you need that. You need that.
What's your logic?
Well, you've mined the last block. So there's no more block rewards.
Right.
It's a fee-only marketplace. So you need those blocks to be filled. Well, you need competition for blocks to drive up fees. So there's still a minor.
But you don't know the level of Bitcoin adoption then and like how it's been used in the world.
Well, sure. Play hypothetical. Let's play back with them.
This is
There's 12 billion people using their global reserve currency of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Go.
I think there might be competition for blocks, right? Because the scale's there. That might cause some competition. You're right, but with all the efficiencies that you're talking about, the splicing and the channel management bits and pieces, runes might play a big part, or something along that side might play a big part in
why.
It's very hard to say 2140, but you see what I mean.
No. I really don't.
You know, when you need it, you need those blocks full.
Hey, why?
You know what I mean? Because the miners need something.
Nobody knows what you mean.
Yes.
Well, it depends.
Surely you know what I mean, Molly.
The blocks are still...
You still need the miners.
If you've got 12 billion people using Bitcoin as a global reserve currency and they're using it all around everyday life...
Everyone's already got...
You'll have the nations mining at that point where economic incentive is not as important as validating transactions, that kind of thing.
So if you're talking hypothetical, you can bring all sorts of hypothetical.
You could actually, couldn't you? Because you need countries to adopt mining in terms of to have a piece of the pie, I suppose. Mm. Yeah, that's
to make sure.
That's a very interesting dynamic.
Actually. US don't have 90% of the hash rate and decide to try and take over over the Bitcoin network. Other countries are using it as their
so
legal
actually
tender.
It might not be a revenue play at that point. It might be a control.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think far ahead in hypotheticals of 2140.
Just 120 years ahead.
Global political plays. So I think it's silly to talk hypothetical for a lot of that stuff, we've just done.
It's silly.
It's ridiculous.
Silly man.
I was enjoying it.
But no, it's a good thought process. But it doesn't help our current situation.
It's a thought experiment. That was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All the thought experiments.
Okay, right.
Okay, right, back to the agenda.
Cool.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, I bought three.
The Financial Times reported that the IMF has warned the US its massive fiscal deficits have stoked inflation and posed significant risks for the global economy.
Yeah. I'm just starting to believe that the Financial Times listened to Bitcoiners and basically...
Must do.
As I forewarned.
No other explanation.
They're just following me in because that's my warning. And I read this on Bloomberg. Bloomberg then deleted the article.
Is this the one that you were saying
was
about
like,
deleting?
I've just read that.
Yeah.
And I swear it was on Bloomberg. I was reading it and then I was going to try and share it because I was like, oof, that's just what I've said. And then I couldn't find it. And I was like, well, that's interesting. They might have got rid of that article. But then the FT picked it up and it's...
And they didn't quote you either. Didn't source you.
No, they've probably got much more highly qualified individuals to quote, actually.
Do you think?
Yeah. You're scraping the barrel if it ever got to me.
I'm even being nice to you here.
I like to think they do. But anyway,
on the economy and Bitcoin combination and IMF.
I'd say you're one of the top guys.
No.
Few and far between in the world that
I don't know
that have a grasp of all.
Anyway, combinations. I can't. I can't. What a compliment from you makes me feel very uneasy, almost sick inside.
I was just lying.
So yeah, of course you're doing. It's just highlighting countries, huge economies with global deficits, and the problems that that's causing in terms of inflationary problems when they're using tactics that the Americans are using. And they are actually highlighting, and a lot of people are starting to, that Trump is catching Biden in the polls in terms of the election, next election, and Trump has already promised to make permanent his tax cuts, which Biden repealed on slightly. As I said, let's bloody hell, FT's copy me. But yeah, so the people are even more worried about that, because it makes the problem even worse.
Mm.
So
I wonder if this is the same
article. What's this space?
That someone tried to put on Bloomberg, got deleted, and that same person must put on the FT and they've allowed it.
And I've just read it claiming, like, follow me, but yeah. I follow that.
Who wrote this article? Is it a contributor or is it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did it say?
Scroll to the very top. I think it actually says at the top. Keep going down a little bit. It'll say there.
Claire Jones and Sam Fleming.
Yeah. Very interesting. On the 17th. Interesting, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So, yeah, the IMF article. Coming on to that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
They also dropped China in it. China got a very similar problem.
I'm not saying that.
I don't know what happens. Mm. But,
imbalance.
Which is weird, because they're not talking about India, who are the number one leader of large fiscal deficits.
No.
Why are they only worried about the US? China, I suppose, because their economies are more relevant to the global stage.
Think so, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, they also highlight UK's got a problem, even though we're mid-table.
Mm. But we're a big,
big player. I think Mikey's right in terms of that.
Mm.
Just want to keep an eye out on, just to add a bit of worry.
The IMF's kind of, what they do is they lend out US dollars, so
yeah,
they want it to be as strong as possible, right? So
there is probably part of that as well.
So the IMF.
Okay, coming on to the IMF. They released a paper document called A Primer on Bitcoin Cross-Border Flows.
Everyone missed this, by the way, as well.
I read it.
I saw you tweet about it.
No. I appreciate that, guys.
You're welcome.
Only because you share all with us.
No, they released it like a week before anyone even noticed it.
Mm.
It was just completely missed.
Did you read it?
I've skim read it.
I didn't read it.
Do you go straight to the conclusions?
I went to the conclusion.
Yeah.
What is their conclusion?
It's quite funny. Because it's like, oh, no shit, guys.
Yeah.
The finding indicates that Bitcoin may be used to circumvent capital controls. That was one of the findings. That's literally in the front page. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And
I get that. It's like
global freedom.
Yeah.
Aren't the IMF anti-Bitcoin, though?
Yeah, historically, yes.
Yeah.
Mm. This is why this was quite...
Well, not even historically.
Yeah. It's almost like a catch-up document, like an admission that Bitcoin... They particularly focus on cross-border payments. They said cross-border payment usage is actually very widespread. It's one of their first releases on that, which makes it interesting. So it's like
they've acknowledged it. That
yeah, it's like a this focus on it. The acknowledgement's the point, I think, of this whole thing.
Yeah,
because what they're saying is stuff we've known for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there's growing adoption.
It's quite a lengthy report as well. It's not.
I would say the first 20 pages of their metrics, data collection, and the models they use to determine that local Bitcoins is their reference.
Yeah, I was a bit confused with that.
When did local Bitcoins close down? I presume
the data is...
So the data is more public, it's more peer-to-peer, isn't it? So they have difficulty determining what's a cross-border transaction. Because this is all about flows, it's nothing about price, it's just about global flows.
Yeah. So it was a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago that they closed down, but they've referenced like 74 times in that document.
Yeah. So that was the main
thing. Yeah.
Someone else as well? There was local Bitcoins and there was something else they referenced.
Chain analysis was used.
There was another like exchange style.
Local Bitcoins is the one that kept propping up. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's quite an old data then. But it's just IMF are now acknowledging that there is flows, cross-border flows of Bitcoin, and it's growing quite rapidly.
There is a Bitcoin use case.
Well,
IMF are acknowledging.
Basic
world use case.
Yeah.
That currency they told other guys not to bother with, otherwise they wouldn't give them a loan.
But they're also
acknowledging.
Yeah. And they're actually saying it responds differently from traditional capital flows. or capital flows drivers. So it's like saying, yeah, this is happening. It's an alternative to the fiat market. But yeah, I agree. A lot of people did miss it. It wasn't picked up anywhere.
I think it was 5 days before it really got picked up on Twitter. Yeah.
Do you think that's because they didn't really want to shout about it? They feel like they've had to do it, but they don't want to make a big deal out of it. Therefore, it's kind of flown under the radar because they've not.
I think the halving probably hit it a lot. There's other stuff gone on.
About that?
It's a noisy period, wasn't it?
It was.
I don't know if they announced that.
I assume they have like a set way of releasing kind of this kind of paper. Just goes on their website or something.
Nobody's got it.
And it takes someone in the industry to pick it up.
Mm.
I can't imagine many people are hanging out on the IMF website, are they?
No. Probably should.
Yeah.
Might check it out a bit more.
There we go. The exact person.
Probably. I don't know if they don't think they tweeted it. I don't believe they would have. Or maybe they did have done it.
Mm.
I would have thought that had got picked up if they tweeted it.
Mm. But weird releasing this at the same time as the whole El Salvador thing. That's the crux of them not getting their next kind of loan from the IMF.
They were looking at like ratios of GDP and the actual inflow of Bitcoin and thinking that that would be a metric for...
But I assume it's just a typical... Like,
negative. I'm just wondering if it's going to have a negative twist on it eventually, where people say, this is a huge problem because your GDP doesn't represent the capital inflow that it should have. And that they could then say, right, we need to start... Someone needs to sanction in some way inflows of Bitcoin. But you just try it.
Okay. BitGet research reports claim that 72% of UAE users have invested in Bitcoin.
Oh yeah, I just called bullshit on this. That's just...
It's fuming again.
72%.
That's the sort of market research that gets PR though.
How many people did they test on? 1,000 people, was it something, in Dubai City Center, in probably the DIF? Like the financial place where
it wasn't 100 there.
Probably have it, as opposed to, like, I don't know, and I'd love to know.
I don't know the source.
We know,
so why are you calling bullshit?
Because we know the population of UAE is heavily immigrant. So there's, is it 25% of the population is Emirati locals, and then 75% is made up from immigrants from UK, Bangladesh, India, Philippines. There's lots of them. So, and a lot of them don't necessarily, so 75% of that population as well, are maybe immigrants that are coming on in low paid salaries and low paid jobs. And are they the guys that would be investing in things, or are they the ones that are then sending the money home and things? Now, don't get me wrong, they might be using cryptocurrencies to send back to home and cross border, as we've just been touching on. But I just felt 72% is far too high.
It's quite high.
I just don't believe it. It doesn't make sense. Does it say on that, Mikey?
It doesn't. No, it's not even. It's talking about whole bin assets here, but then it's citing different numbers down here.
Because they're talking specifically about Bitcoin as well, aren't they? Actually, 72% of them investing in Bitcoin.
I can't buy that. The Alaman or UK? Where do you think the percentage would be?
Well, the UK last one was like 5%.
Yeah.
The US was.
But those reports were a couple of years ago, but I don't see it. I think
last year, those sort of numbers are 72.
They're all, because they're the sort of numbers I vaguely remember as it being around there. But you want a comparative market in terms of economics, don't you?
Yeah. US and UK talking 5-15% max, and then we're saying UAE.
But they're saying like
me too.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Popular projects, and it's all like shitcoin stuff, not even Bitcoin.
Not Bitcoin. So then we're talking on two different things, and are we now?
Mm.
But that means they've worded it wrong, or they're just...
And it's like a whole thing on just cryptocurrency, but it's quite a long report that they've done here.
Mm. So we need to know how many, the question, I guess, don't we? Which, oh, scroll down, was it something there? Yeah, scroll up slightly. Stop that. I'm trying to... No, nothing major. Yeah, I mean, we can probably, we've not officially opened in Dubai yet and the UAE, so we don't have much data to share from CoinCon's perspective.
But we will have.
We do have pre-registrations of people that have been signing up with us, and they are at, what, maybe 1,000 UAE customers, I think, at the minute, maybe something like that, that are not customers, they've just pre-registered in the sense of registered an email address with us. So I'd be... out of how many people are in UAE? Is it 7 million?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, isn't it?
I know with the recent Russian population increase.
I think it might be 9.4.
I think we're in 9.4, 4.1.
I think that's in 2022, though, guys. So I'm actually thinking it's 9.5.
It'll be over 10. It'll be over 10 because there's been about a million of relocated recently. So we're probably about 10 and a half.
I said
9.5.
9.55. pretty much.
Okay, so you're saying the survey's wrong. It's a bit of a sweep. Our data would say that it sounds wrong to me.
I just can't.
It's way too high.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah.
How many of the people, I'd love to see the disparity between the wealth gap in UAE as well and see what that looks like, because you'd see then how many would theoretically even be able to have disposable income to invest in things. Because they're talking UAE as a whole, aren't they, as well? They're not just Dubai or not just Abu Dhabi.
What's their agenda for doing that report?
Clickbait.
PR. This.
Yeah.
Being featured on Bitcoiners. Wow.
Yeah, at a desperate time.
I'm not saying, you know, it could very well. There you go. What's up, Mikey? 1%.
Top 1% constitute 22% of the total income, while the bottom 50% only make up 5.8%.
Yeah, so the top 1% of individuals hold 50% of the entire country's wealth.
Wow.
I mean, that's not indicative of anything, though. Like, it doesn't say the amount they're investing in Bitcoin. They could just invest a small amount, but they're fundamentally 70% of the population.
I mean, you're clutching at straws here, aren't
you? Yeah, it's true.
I get it, it's true. You're also clutching at straws. One, they'd have to give a crap about investing. Then they'd have to give a crap about investing in Bitcoin. Then they'd have to be tech savvy to be able to then go on and do it. And I just don't buy that any country in the world has that penetration.
You don't have to be tech savvy to buy Bitcoin nowadays.
You need to be able to use a website, which we've seen, Dave. You struggle.
That's a low bar.
I've seen you struggle.
And you've struggled.
Some websites are confusing.
Yeah,
you know, website. Probably the world's worst Googler.
Is
yeah.
A lot of places have to do FinProm quizzes now as well. You know, you got to get your six questions right.
Yeah. Educated investors.
Okay. Let's not go down that route, but
I just don't buy it.
Okay. Right. I don't buy it either. I think it is high. I'd agree with you.
Right. Let's move on because we got a lot more.
Sorry as well. We'll move on in a second. I'm very sorry.
I've got my hammer, isn't it?
The point is, but it's not like I'm frustrated at that, and so we should be, but seeing there's no point in saying that there's a 72% penetration rate in that country, because we're only lying to ourselves in terms of the adoption and what the job we still have to do ahead of us. So people are getting in a false mindset of thinking that adoption is there already. And realistically, we know a lot of people there now as well, and a lot of them are Bitcoin thinkers. And you could ask them, and I think they would very well, they'd tell us like their family and friends don't have anything, and that you could easily do. We could probably do our own little sample and find out how many people we know that their family and friends, what percentage of their family and friends own Bitcoin. And we could probably figure that out. But we're lying to ourselves in the sense of thinking there's a big penetration rate when we know we've got a massive job ahead of us and a big long journey ahead of us still for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then it's getting to the right mindset for that journey ahead, not in the mindset of, oh, it's all right. Everybody already knows how to use Bitcoin there because 72% have invested. Mm. So it's a frustration in the sense of, I don't believe that's the correct way for us as an industry to grow and to create more adoption.
Mm.
I think it's a bad way to go about it, which is why I'm frustrated.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Moving on. Tether vows to freeze assets after Venezuela looks to crypto to bypass oil sanctions.
Yep, this is interesting because fresh US sanctions back on Venezuela, and then they kind of said they're going to ramp up their adoption of Tether to get around these sanctions. But then I don't think they realized Tether will also just freeze the funds when the US tell them to.
Tether have put an announcement out saying they will.
Is that what this is? Yeah, I didn't see this.
Did someone mention this on the last pod in terms of like the sanctions that might be placed on some stable, like having a stable coin linked to like a USDC?
Yeah, it's
USDC.
Always right.
It's always going to be linked.
Dependent to the asset.
The seizability of it is still there. So it's...
Yeah.
There's a technical way that there's some that are starting to try and do it without being pegged to an entity, but you're having to effectively arbitrage prices to keep with the dollar in that sense. So you're having to use then like kind of DeFi markets in some sense, if the DeFi market is actually DeFi as well. So there is infrastructure around that being built out to try and allow for a stable coin that is not controlled by a central entity, but it's not really there yet or doesn't really have liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it's a bit of FUD busting around some stable coins and the seizability. I think this article just highlights the fact that, you know, it's as good as the dollar in some cases.
Yeah. Okay. ARK apparently have destroyed more wealth than any asset manager over the previous decade.
It's not a statement you want against you, yeah. Is it?
Quite a damning statement.
I mean, you're going down in history.
It's all going down.
I mean, this isn't even a Bitcoin-related thing in some sense, is it?
Yeah, I don't know why it's put, like, Cathy Wood has got some Bitcoin history.
We know she's invested in Coinbase, everything from the fund, and I don't know what else. She got some Bitcoin ETFs.
Or is she just really bullish on the price?
Yeah, she's just always saying the price is going to go up.
Yeah, she's big on the price.
I suppose that puts a mockery of it if her fund's gone down so much and she's saying Bitcoin, you can't really trust her.
You can't trust, yeah. This is always...
Great.
My only thing with this
is... that why Ben McKenzie's retweeted it?
Yeah.
Because he wants to associate with that.
Yeah, he wants to
get
the
Ben.
Attention. Good old Ben. But yeah, it's more about like Slate Heroes angle, because she's been put on a pedestal over this last however many years, which is, I think, what the article talks about as well, because everyone thought she was a genius investor because they went through the 2021 spike.
They always do for a short period of
everyone
time.
Everyone makes money when they're going out, right?
Yeah.
No one beats the market 6 years in a row.
I've heard that saying before.
Warren Buffett quote.
That's a joke. I thought you were trying to claim it as your own.
Wow.
I think it's statistically true.
Yeah.
So they all look great for a period and then it all falls down.
Yeah. It's like the trading algorithms and things like that. It works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's
like it.
Some
fund loses money.
High estimates for price of shares, price there. 4,600 per share.
What are they are now per share? I don't actually know what they are now.
They've got two, haven't they? They've got the innovation ETF, and then they've got like two different ETFs.
It'd be the other one, will it?
It's the one.
Oh, is it the innovation one? I don't know.
Oh, that's only showing the innovation one.
Yeah, so it's like you're working
out. Yeah.
But yeah, it's don't put people on pedestals and avoid that as much as you can.
Yep. Yeah, but like on Twitter, if someone gives a bullish price prediction that's outlandish and they've come from what people consider some sort of authoritarian position, like a position of respect. Like,
Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, puts that out there. Oh yeah, Bitcoin's going to... Of course it is, because you've just opened up the Bitcoin ETF product that you want to be successful.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you now want Bitcoin to go to the moon. It's crazy.
So
agendas are easy to spot if you look, but people, yeah, you don't want to.
Who pays attention to these people, though? Anyway.
But. People do. Yeah, they are influential, aren't they? But
frustratingly
so.
Next one. Jack Dorsey's block announces development of full Bitcoin mining system.
Was this not already, you think?
So yeah, they announced they were doing a chip about a year ago. Now they've announced they're going to do a whole mining machine and software. I think that's what this is.
I'm not going to lie. I thought they were already
doing it. I thought they were already doing it as well. Yeah.
Maybe they made an announcement about an announcement.
But the cool thing to me on this is it's the 3-nanometer chip, which I think the S21 is a 5-nanometer chip. So this is significantly better.
Has to be, though, doesn't it, for the time it takes to manufacture and release ahead of time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So otherwise, if they'd done a 5, the other guys will have had it by the time it comes out. So
I think it should be the first 3-nanometer chip.
Any ideas on hash rate, then?
No.
Okay.
They take a long time.
They said it's competitive, but yeah.
Yeah, they take a long time to manufacture from start to finish.
Actually saying it was as well.
Yeah.
Well, that
this
happened
is
once.
Not competitive.
Feasible for anyone.
That happened with Samsung's, didn't it? When they released the data on theirs, it was like, that's not very competitive.
Just sacked it off, didn't
they?
Yeah.
I didn't realise Samsung had
one. Yeah.
I think it was Samsung.
Was it partnership with someone?
Yeah.
There was something about they did credit shit.
They released the data of like their first one and everyone was like,
The S9's better.
Yeah. They're going to do a full mining machine and software. They've got like screenshots of the software.
I would love it to be slightly more plug and play than the ones we see at
the moment. Asking miners to get involved and help direct what they
want. That's you, Dave.
Miners, though.
That's us. I don't know how Danny feels about miners.
That's us.
I know.
So you can get in touch.
We'll get in touch.
Give some feedback.
Yeah. Because you just want the guy on the street just to be able to buy it, plug it in, direct it to his wallet and go.
You do.
Right. And at the moment, it's nearly, but it's not quite. It's a bit of faff.
There are some of them out there, like the gimmicky ones, like the USB ones and stuff like that. But they're not good. They're not.
No.
I have high expectations for this one because, like, with the hardware wallet they've done as well.
Yeah.
Still haven't played around with that, but need to. They seem very good at building hardware, right? And good UX.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah, well, have they got good... yeah, of course they've got good UX, haven't they? Like Jax.
Cash App.
Yeah, Square, Cash App's got good UX.
Square's the hardware side as well.
Twitter's not brilliant, but...
Twitter's Twitter, isn't it?
Mm. All right, anyway.
Okay. Last one for the agenda then. PayPal proposes crypto economic rewards for sustainable Bitcoin miners.
Right. So, did you see... Did anyone read this?
No.
Cool. Right, it's the end of the pod. there's a bit. So, they've said it makes this art. I've not read the full detail of it either yet. So,
right.
Apologies in advance.
There's five people in the room that's barely read it.
When did it come out?
Last night. Yeah.
Right, okay.
But the point is, they've made it sound like that PayPal are going to give these rewards. That's not a thing. So,
Cointelegraph have made it sound like that.
No, just the news in general. I don't know if it was Cointelegraph. I don't know who
it was covering.
I've read it in different places, to be honest. Right. But the whole thing, it's always been like PayPal are doing it. But PayPal have just like done an R&D thing and suggested, why don't we do this? I think from my understanding of what I've read. But the point is, what they'll do is similar to what I was saying before about ocean mining and how you'll end up with two different fee structures where you've got one that's paying for the runes and the JPEGs and one that's paying for the money transactions. They've kind of gone that route in
the same
sense.
But with a green miner.
ESG. So if you are making a transaction and you want a ESG miner, I'm saying ESG in the sense of like just carbon neutral or whatever you want to classify it as a environmentally friendly miner, you can give an additional fee within the transaction by using smart contracts, I think, to do it. But that would give them something that the green miners would have access to that can basically say, I can take that fee and the other fee, so I can take both fees.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a non-green miner that's not been signed off by somebody wouldn't be able to take the green fee piece, and they would only get the other fee. So you'd end up with two different fees. So it would entice miners to be as green as possible, which is all well and good.
Is it also in like anticipation of... which I hope never happens, but eventually like companies utilizing Bitcoin being forced to have their transactions mined by these green miners, like mandated.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. That'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Which would mean then
you've got this
new market effectively for transaction fees, which would be interesting. I think it's something we've already spoke about in the past on this sort of stuff anyway, in a similar sense. And there is already proposals out there that other people have done in a similar way. And I think some of the other proposals are meant to be better than this one as well.
Mm.
So it's a bit playing catch up. Nobody's really done it. And I don't know in reality, would it work in the real world and would anything happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a if it wasn't PayPal doing that and announcing that, it would not even be a story. It's just because it's PayPal.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the agenda. We've gone to some Dear Daves.
Do
Dear
Dave's first.
We'll do Dear Dave first. Also, I love that everyone calls us Dear Dave now, even though Dave doesn't really answer.
I don't think he's going to answer these.
No.
Okay. Well, let's see them.
Challenge.
Right.
Challenge.
Do we have plans for a multi-sig custody service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe answered not. That.
No, you did, to be fair.
Yep.
Do you know that?
Do you want to expand on that?
Come on.
You have any conversations with them? Yes, we do, for more information. Can't give too much more information on that at the minute. It'll be slightly different to what's maybe out there at the minute as well. But yeah, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Probably another 2 or 3 months off maybe before we can maybe push that and announce that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be good though.
Right.
Otherwise, why would we bother?
I suppose. It will be good.
Could be good.
Might be good.
We'll
flick a coin.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Can we presently nominate a person to access our Coin Corner funds if we peg it? What happens if a customer dies suddenly? Heavy question, but these situations do happen.
Okay,
good question.
So, yeah, it's a good question. currently we can't nominate a person, but that is quite a good idea. We should maybe look into that. But we currently follow, I don't know if we can nominate a person actually, but currently we can't, can we?
Not right now.
It's a good idea though. I replied to this last night in WhatsApp message.
All right. I didn't see it.
And said something
about sometimes.
I thought I'd already give you the answer to this. But
all right, I'm going to, right, this is the answer.
I just edit this bar.
No, you don't. You don't have to. Right, currently I don't think we can nominate a person, but I think it's a good idea. But we currently follow the same regulations as a bank. So in terms of people would have to provide a death certificate and a lawyer's normally involved to make a claim on anyone that suddenly dies. It does happen. People do die. But yeah, it's, there's a well-known, well-followed procedure.
Yep. Which we've done. We've had to do.
Yep.
It's happened and we've...
But it's exactly the same as a bank.
Sometimes as well, it's actually quite nice. So not a nice situation, obviously, but yeah, there was... Weird. Let me finish. Let me explain myself before I sound weird. Somebody had unfortunately passed away, but their children, I think it was two children, and didn't know that their parent had an account with us. And then obviously they were able to get that and recover it. And he actually had quite a chunk of Bitcoin in there, which was a nice little gift for them that they weren't aware of. And we were able to return that to him, obviously, which was nice.
What did you respond on WhatsApp about the nomination thing?
We've already been looking into that, and
who's been looking into it?
The
Have
company.
You been looking into
yeah,
it?
No, I've had compliance it and illegal on it. But the idea of that, obviously, yes, there's a way we can just put something in like settings area, for example. It's like you can nominate someone and do it that way. What it was tying into was trust for children or something like that. So for example, it's not when you die, but when your child gets to a certain age, you've got this Bitcoin stacking account. So your stacking account effectively has a legal hold on it to this person. So it works in the same way of that. So if the situation occurs, you die or your child hits 21, they will get paid out in some way. So we have linked to the stacking account
is a good idea.
Thanks.
Did I come up with that?
Possibly, yeah.
Just can't remember. So many good ideas, just can't remember them.
But so, in a short answer, yes.
But the quick fix is that just to nominate someone, write it down, right? In the admin area.
That seems like legal implications, right? We can't just bring it in and go.
You'd have to email support and tell support the person and nominate them. That would be recorded automatically in.
This guy's just become a lawyer.
In our internal system.
Surely it's not that easy. I would say it is. You could force someone to put you down
and then
this has always been the argument. You've got to get
verify it somehow.
That's interesting.
So it's been with our legal team and so on, but I think it's currently been dropped for priorities of other things at the minute, but it's on that list.
But no, you could, like, you in a will and testament, you can without the authority of the other person mentioned in the will, you can put them in your will. So you put a charity in your will.
Yeah,
you don't have to know.
It's done by a solicitor, isn't it?
Yeah.
That would theoretically
be a legal document
in some sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it outside of that, but then someone could try and argue against it is the problem part.
I mean, what sort of person do you have to be to go, right, this person's left you X amount as your nomination for this? Oh, no.
No, but
there'll
it's
be
not
someone
you,
it's having a claim to it like, rather than that person you put.
The next door neighbour or saying, oh, no, they hated their son or their daughter or something. They wanted to leave
and, ultimate, and they were putting under duress. Like any sort of will disagreement.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is that.
So you've got to do it kind of right to make sure there's not. We could just do a simple way
sometimes
like that.
It sounds so simple. It's just absolutely murky, isn't it?
Like I said, there's legal implications.
Yeah, I know. I forgot you passed the bar a few years
ago. 99% of the time, it's probably perfectly fine to send an email with a...
You're completely right. But actually, there's those fringe bits that make it more awkward.
Which is why we're trying to create a product or an offering to do that in some sense. Or just an additional feature, really, not a product.
Yeah.
How does it work, sorry, if someone dies and nobody knows they had an account?
They're the same. Someone needs to come and claim and say that. Or
the keyword is nobody knows.
They go into like something called probate, I think, and then the state claim it. So it's like that because it happens with banks as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's called probate.
Don't know. It's called.
I might have completely made that up.
That's the lawyer.
But there's something that's worth it. But eventually, the Crown get it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely.
Okay.
There you go, Dave. Thank you. More or less right.
You passed
the bar. Hey, not the only lawyer in this room.
There are no lawyers in this room, just to clarify.
Oh, okay.
Was that a nice question?
Yeah. The other question we had was, so you have to be careful with UK financial promotions, but how much effort and resources do you use for SEO, which is search engine optimization, and other avenues to get new customers to Coin Corner?
I'll pass that one to you, Molly, the queen of marketing.
Yeah, obviously we do have to be very careful with UK financial promotions. Why are you laughing?
Because we do have to be very careful. It's funny how careful we have to be, even on this pod.
This bit actually might get edited out, who knows?
Depends if your mic's working.
It is.
But yeah, on the SEO front, I mean, that's something we've done from day one. In very early days, we built the company on having good SEO from the marketing side and also from the technical SEO side. So we've kind of always made sure that that is top of the agenda when it comes to marketing, so that we do rank high. Other avenues to get new users, I mean, don't know how much of our playbook we want to give away, but
stop.
Yeah,
I was just gonna
stop.
Oh.
None.
But stuff is public.
Whoa, not
less public.
Well, it's always out of the box thinking, right? We don't really do traditional marketing. Yeah. Right, classic. Is that all of them?
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Other avenues, announcements. Here we go.
There's an announcement.
Two announcements. Shall I go? I'll go with the small one first and the bigger one.
Two announcements. Yep. This is how we're doing it.
Yep. One of them is kind of already people are aware of it. I think some people are aware of it, aren't they?
Are we going big first and then?
Yeah, because it's not.
Oh, it depends what you define as which one's the biggest.
All right, come on then.
All right, we'll go big first. EMI accounts. Now available at Coin Corner. So, why are you shaking your head?
This announcement. It's quite big news, and that's how we're doing it.
Well, people
are actively making it worse, though. Yeah.
You're really killing
it. I don't want to hold the spotlight on it.
Yeah. Well, it deserves it.
So, we haven't really told anyone publicly about that in any sense. So, EMI accounts, e-money accounts, electronic money institution accounts. So, it's kind of like what you will see with Revolut, and Revolut are e-money accounts, EMI accounts as well. So we have the similar thing for Coin Corner customers. So you get, as a UK customer, you would get your account number and sort code, the same way as you'd have a HSBC, Barclays, etc. And you get an IBAN number if you're European for SEPA. They've been kind of rolled out since late last year in terms of testing and beta testing and sort of touching the edges of certain customers. So we've had certain customers allowed to come and do it and trial it, but now it's kind of open to everybody so people can start getting their own EMI account currently for free. Dave will dislike. Ideally in the long run, always for free. Dave will also really dislike.
Yeah.
But we'll see as we go. So currently, yeah, free accounts. You effectively log into your Coin Corner account on the website, and you can then from there
from the deposit section.
Yeah, just
places and
deposit now.
It's literally a one click setup, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll be two clicks.
To it and then make okay, accounts.
Guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to be pedantic.
Actually, two clicks help.
Mikey was, right again.
Right. Always are that again. Always.
And so he's here. You're the producer of this. You've got to keep everyone on track. Sorry, it's two clicks help.
The key benefits of these accounts, right, is that it's in your own name.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Automatic deposits and withdrawals.
Yeah. Should stop any problems with banks.
Yeah.
To your, if that's it's from your name to your own name, it should be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good. There's lots more to come on the back of that at some point. This is kind of first stage or first phase of what we've got coming out off the back of that, but just takes time, unfortunately, and as with everything.
It's GBP and Euro as well. So both accounts are available.
Yep.
And it's also available to businesses as well.
B2C and B2B, yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Cool.
Cracking.
Should we explain? Sorry, we didn't explain some of that. So what an EMI account is, maybe we can include the footnote and we can include the links to go to have a read about them if people are unsure, because it is a bit of an unfamiliar term. Even though people use it at like Revoluts and some of the challenger banks, what they call themselves challenger banks, Standard Bank.
Oh, are they?
we'll pull them into it.
Yeah, not that.
But Revolut and
Monzo.
Monzo used to be. I don't know if they're now a banker or not as well.
Sorry.
But yeah, there's them kind of companies that are like the challenger banks, as they classify us. They're using like EMI accounts to do this, e-money accounts. And it means that the money is, my explanation will be terrible here, but the money, if you put your money in, say, your Barclays, your HSBCs, etc., that money is using a fractional reserve capacity and invested in different things and given out in loans, etc. So it's used, your money, your deposit is made use of. With an e-money account, EMI account, if you put pounds in or euros in, it's held one-to-one with effectively like with the Bank of England in the UK perspective, and on the European side, it's Bank of Lithuania, I believe. Forgot which one, Bank of Lithuania. Cut it out if I get it wrong. So there is held, your money is held one-to-one effectively, so nothing behind the scenes is being done with it and trade like invested or anything. Which means that with a traditional bank, you have a, is it £85,000?
Yeah.
Kind of like you would classify, I guess, as insurance. If you had £1 million in your bank account and the bank went bankrupt, you would only be guaranteed £85,000 of that million back to you. With e-money accounts, you've effectively a one-to-one pegged in that sense, so you would still have the £1 million in your name in that account. So it's actually more beneficial than the financial compensation scheme in the UK, and I don't know what Europe's is. Oh, did I get it wrong?
Well, it says regulation being provided by the Dutch regulator to the Netherlands.
My bad. we'll dig it out. We'll find it. We'll share it in the footnotes. Too much information to remember.
Anyway, very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Other announcement, smaller announcement, but still cool announcement, is the Quinquana price widget. Which by
didn't even do a drum roll. We've missed that.
A widget doesn't deserve a drum roll.
It's pretty cool.
It's a pretty nice looking widget.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's okay. Are you just upset you're not part of the official testing team, so you haven't
completed
it? Yeah, we got access to
exactly.
Yeah, it's a little one of a little announcement, really, but it was just something that is frustrating for our team. I think we've wanted one of these for a while, and it's just not been there. But it means if you've got the Coin Corner app, you can, depending on Android and iOS, slightly different setup process, but you can then add a widget from your dashboard of your phone, which will then have the Coin Corner one in there available now for the widgets. Mm-hmm. And it will just pull in the latest Bitcoin price.
I'm sure Mikey will overlay some nice imagery. While we're talking about it.
Yeah.
So you now don't have to open an app to check the Bitcoin price. It'll be on your...
Hoping that's available by the time this podcast goes out.
It's scheduled to be available.
Got 24 hours.
Thursday. It's in the next release anyway for mobile apps, so whenever they get pushed through the stores.
Very good.
Awesome. Any mining updates?
No.
No.
We didn't get this. So obviously,
yeah.
No.
We were talking about whether solar mining it or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was enticing the $1 million thing. Like, $1 million price, we minded, didn't we?
I was going to say, like, yesterday was hot in that office. Are we going to
You're welcome.
Yeah. No. Too hot.
It was
too hot. We've won. We've done it.
In the Alamat. It was nearly 30 degrees upstairs.
So what happens? Are we going to have to turn those miners off?
Well, you don't earn any Bitcoin with miners turned off, Molly.
So we're
what planet are you on?
We're sure.
Beak up there.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good to know.
You're sure.
Might want to let the rest of the team know.
I think we're getting into that period where it's getting sunny enough and warm enough nearly now.
The joy is that we can just down the wattage.
It's 10 degrees here on the island today, so.
You could just turn some of the mines off.
Yeah, I did yesterday.
It was frustrating that you did. We went up there at like half four, is it, or something like that. And it was absolutely roasting, and no one's thought to turn the miners off.
That's the day.
We walked upstairs, didn't we? Have conviction.
Still sweat for Bitcoin.
Conviction. It was nearly 30 degrees. We walked upstairs. It was roasting. Like, why is no one turning off? It's like,
well, we might have to decrease the watch.
Yeah.
Summer settings are coming.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Cool. That's it.
Sound.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Right. Cheers. Peace.
Bye-bye.